This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show.
Hey, Money Nerds, if planning a trip has been on your mind, this episode is going to be for you. I'm coming at you solo today to share some of my favorite tips for cheap travel, more specifically, how you can start to travel abroad for less than $1,500. It is very possible. Now, I'm talking that's your all-in cost per person. So you can make this as luxe or as cheap as you possibly wish. But my style of travel is like, I'm a good medium. Like I don't really go too high end. I don't go too low. And so I'm going to share with you some of my favorite tips for helping you plan a fantastic vacation. So here's what we're going to talk about today. First and foremost, I'm going to talk about where you can go to get really good deals on flights. And for people that might live in Boise, where I live, I'll share some popular vacation locations that I find to be reasonably priced. I'm also going to share some tips for inexpensive but comfortable lodging options, how to find great restaurants that won't break the bank, and destinations that are pretty affordable almost all the time. And so with that, we're going to talk about how we can start to travel more frequently. Now, I want to take you back just a little way. So my own travel story was not something where, you know, I came from a ton of money and we were traveling to Europe for every summer. Like that was certainly not my childhood. For me, it was something where as a kid, if we even went to Disneyland once every 10 years, we would drive, we would road trip, we would not buy any food when we were in the park, really. Like it was a very bare bones budget. Now, keep in mind, there were six kids in my family, so money was always a little bit tight. But I kind of carried that philosophy all through a lot of my 20s, honestly. I didn't really think that I had enough money to travel. I didn't really feel like I was doing well enough. There was always conflicting financial goals. And so I started to just think, you know, maybe there's a different way to explore, to get this sense of adventure that I was craving so much in my mid-20s. And so what I did is I decided I was going to start locally, well, semi-locally, I should say. It was the 4th of July weekend. I had a little extra time off of work because of the holiday. And so I said, you know what, screw it. Let's just jump in the car and let's drive 9.5 hours from Boise down to basically Springdale, which is Utah. So this is where Zion National Park is. And I'd always wanted to explore that. So I decided we were going to just jump in the car and go. And so we cruised over there. This was Tony, my little sister, and I. We met my mom and my niece and nephews. They were coming back from a Disneyland trip that she took them on. Yeah, it's always how it goes, right? Grandparents can always take the grandkids on trips. But when you were a kid, it's like not enough money. It's the way it always goes. Anyways, so we met them there and we just hiked around and explored Zion National Park. And it was incredible. It was a 3-day trip. It was super fast and furious, probably a little bit crazy for a 9.5 hour drive. But that was the trip that really started my love for adventure. And so I do want to share this because I do think it's important to remind yourself that you can still have an incredible time and get that sense of adventure locally. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to go somewhere. You could do something as simple as what I would like to do too. This is kind of fun. I still do this to this day. I have a notebook, and in my notebook, I have all of the different locations or hikes or things that I want to see. And I'll write it down in a notebook, and then right next to it, I will write how many hours away it is from me. So if it's going to be a car trip, I will write down, you know, this is 6 hours, this is 2 hours. And then based on my work schedule, I can start to say, okay, I've got a 3-day weekend. I'm up for a 6-hour max drive, I could do this or this. And then I start to plan a trip around that. And that is like, it's a ton of fun because it really encourages you to like get out and go check out things that are close to you in general. But that is just a different style of travel. So hopefully that inspires you too. If you're not quite ready to maybe go international or do some more expensive trips, you can always start locally. But I'm going to speak to you a little bit about the people that do like to travel. So I'm a huge believer that travel is the only thing that makes you richer. I believe in spending money on experiences all day long. I would rather pay, you know, thousands of dollars for a trip than thousands of dollars into a car payment. Like, I'm just very disinterested in that. So that is something that I personally believe. But I know a lot of listeners to this show kind of have a similar mindset. And so my hunch is that you probably feel at least kind of similar to me too. Here's what I have observed. So I want to offer up something different. So the current script for travel kind of goes like this. First, we pick a location, and then we ask for time off of work. And then lastly, we consider the cost. And that is how so many of my own trips early on were as well. And I have to tell you, if you're trying to travel on a budget, that's the wrong way to view things. So I'd like to offer up a new script. I want you to first think of the cost, then the time off, and lastly, the location. Now, hear me out. I know that sounds so crazy because people are like, the location's the most important part to me. I really want to see some incredible sights. And what I can tell you is if you flip the script, you are going to see some incredible places. I have found that almost everywhere goes on sale eventually. So let me give you an example of a trip that Tony and I took before I started to flip that script. We went for 7 days to Kauai, and this was such a fun trip. This was one that we were really excited about. We were getting engaged. Like, it was just a really great trip. So we were just celebrating and just, you know, graduating college and just having a good time. But we were looking for location first and then time off and then cost. So that cost us about $1,600 per person. And I will say we were still trying to be pretty frugal, but that was a lot of money. We didn't have that much money to spend. So it felt like $20,000 to us. It was very, very expensive. We had a fantastic time, highly recommend it, but it was still $1,600. And then when I started to get into the world of like quote unquote cheap travel, that's when it started to switch for me. So here is an example of a trip that I took. So I did 10 days in Italy, seriously, 10 days in Italy, and that trip cost me $850, including my flight. And keep in mind, I am in my 30s now. I don't travel in hostels. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just not my personal style. I've tried that before. It's not really what I enjoy. And so this is like renting Airbnbs and staying in hotels and just like actually truly having a good experience. This specific trip, there were three of us that went on that. We also spent 9 days. This is a separate trip in Paris and Amsterdam. And this was over Thanksgiving. So this was a family vacation that we took, which was so much fun to get to explore with my family and just like try something totally different for Thanksgiving. I loved it. That cost me $750. Now, again, this is per person. I did 10 days in Puerto Rico. This was for one of my birthdays. This was a $650 per person trip. I also did 10 days in Costa Rica. We had a much larger group. Sometimes the bigger the group, the more expensive it can be. There's like a sweet spot there for sure. I usually find if it's four people or less, it tends to be a little bit more economical. But if you get up to six, it can get a little costly. But even then, 10 days in Costa Rica, we spent $900 per person. So why I share that with you is because I want you to understand that travel is more affordable now than ever. The thing is, you just have to know where to look for the deals, and you have to understand that if you can save on your flights and your lodging, you can still take incredible trips on a really, really good budget and not have to break the bank. So let's start with some of my favorite flight resources. There are a few that I kind of live and die by. The first one is google.com/flights. If you haven't used this, it is so cool. The reason I like Google Flights so much is because you can type in I live in Boise, so I'm going to use that as the example, from Boise to anywhere, And then you can do like 1 week over the next 6 months. So you can actually search like pretty loosely and then scroll through the map to see like what are the good deals and what are things that are on sale and different destinations. I find that to be such a fun way to go because it's really inspiring. And what I have found is if you have a more flexible approach to travel and you're like, I don't really care where I go, I know I'm going to get to all the places I want to eventually, but I'm going to be open to adventure and going to some cool places that just make sense for my budget. I promise you have a better time. I don't know what it is. I think it's that sense of adventure that we all seem to be lacking sometimes, but that's a really great resource for flights. The next one that you can do is a third-party site called Momondo. Now, Momondo, I'm going to be honest with you, you got to do your research, okay? So make sure that you really do your homework before you book through Momondo. Because it's a third-party site, similar to Expedia, Priceline, Kayak, any of those types of sites, okay? So any third-party site for booking flights is, generally speaking, not as good as going direct through the airline itself. When you go direct through the airline, you have a little bit more protections. Third parties can be a pain in the butt. But Momondo does have some pretty good flights, and I do occasionally look through there too. If I find a good deal on Google Flights, I'll pop over to Momondo and check it to see if it saves even more money. The next resource that I like is Kayak. I like Kayak because it has a price tracker that will kind of tell you a prediction for if that flight's going to go on sale soon, if it's like overly priced, if it's underpriced, if it's about right. It'll kind of tell you that too. So I do appreciate that. And the last resource that I talk about all the time, it used to be called Scott's Cheap Flights, and he was actually a guest on this podcast clear back in the day, but it is now called Going. And that is my favorite. So it's not a search engine. So I need you to understand that it's not quite that way. It's more of like an email blast. So when there's a good deal on different flights, it'll send out an alert to you through email, and then you can start to, you know, see if it's a good deal for you. Those are the resources that I find myself using most frequently to find good deals on flights. Spring is in the air, and every time I go on my afternoon walks or my evening walks with Tony, I always see all the beautiful colors popping up. And it is a good reminder of how far behind I am on my own backyard landscaping. And that's why I get so excited about companies like Fast Growing Trees, which is the biggest online nursery in the US with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the US. They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they probably have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. I ordered some of these plants. I did some honeysuckle and an English ivy for the flower pot, and they are growing so beautifully. I can't wait to show you guys. I'll definitely link it on Instagram so you can see how it's turning out. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off your first purchase when you use code MONEYNERDS at checkout. It's an additional 15% off fastgrowingtrees.com using code MONEYNERDS at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code MONEYNERDS. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Okay, hear me out. Before NerdWallet, I'd pay for vacations with whatever was in my wallet. So for me, this was my debit card. But what I realized is that I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. And now I've got a card with more miles and more upgrades, and I truly love it. Right now, I'm not doing too much traveling, but I am collecting all of those points so that I can hopefully take a really sweet vacation in the very near future. But I gotta know, what could future you do with more travel rewards? Would you do a hotel upgrade? Would you do lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. With all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms do apply. Okay, now the next tip I'm going to give you is something that's a little bit different, but also is pretty cool. So this is flight hopping. So what I notice, again, Boise, Idaho, we don't have a ton of direct flights in and out of Boise. It's just not what we do. There's almost always a layover. And so if I'm really trying to get I don't know, a good deal to say Italy. I want to go eat pasta and pizza and I can't find a good deal from Boise. What I might look at is if I were to book a flight from Boise to, say, Venice, Italy, where are the stopping points? Is it Seattle? Is it San Francisco? Is it Dallas? Like, where do you stop in general? Probably Chicago. I think JFK is another big one. So if you start to look at that, what I will do instead is I will look from Seattle to Venice, Italy, and see if that saves me money. And sometimes you can find a better deal that way. So then I can just book a little hopper flight from Boise to Seattle, maybe book a night at a hotel that's inexpensive, and that could sometimes save me even more money. We did this when we went to Greece. We flew into Athens, but we actually flew out of San Jose, California, and that helped us a lot. It did save a little bit of money. I think that entire flight ended up being like, maybe $600, which is more on the pricey side for me. Generally, I don't spend that much, but it just gives you kind of an idea of like how you can use that to help you find a better deal on your flights. Because I know someone's going to ask about this too, I just want to share really quickly my philosophy on points. So the way Tony and I do points for credit cards is we save those for really, really good deals. So what we're trying to do more with our points is booking flights. So like, let's say I find a great deal from Boise to Tokyo and I'm dying to go there and I want to go visit. Instead of just booking an economy flight, I would upgrade with my points, or I would just book a really expensive flight where my points go further. I'm thinking of like Madagascar or like an Antarctica cruise kind of thing. When you have to get to that port, it's really costly. So those are like a couple places that I could see me using my points for, is going to somewhere like Madagascar or doing a cruise to Antarctica. Until then, we just kind of collect our points. This is neither here nor there. It's just my personal preference to try to use points for really expensive flights that I wouldn't necessarily go on. I can cash flow a $500 flight to Italy with no problem, but a $5,000 flight, like that's going to hurt a bit more. So we try to be a little bit more conservative with how we personally use our credit card points. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about lodging. This is the second biggest portion of your budget for travel. Some resources that I like to use for finding good deals on places to stay: Airbnb. I am a host. I'm a user. I really do love Airbnb. I find some really great deals there. And so I will almost always search directly through Airbnb first and foremost to see what different places are available. The other thing I find is hotels.com. In bigger cities, this is kind of a good way to go. So if you're staying in Rome or Athens or wherever, you're going to find some really good deals on hotels directly. But I like to use hotels.com partially because you can find better deals sometimes than Airbnb. It's not always hit or miss either way. It just depends. But what I like about hotels.com is it does have these nightly trackers. So it's like if you spend, I think it's 10 nights, if you book 10 nights, you get one night for free. And so it does add up, and it is kind of nice to just save money over the long run to do it that way. So I really do enjoy that. Now, if you are the type of person who is very okay with hostels, and I will say some of them are fantastic, they're not all crap, they're not all like bunkhouse style. There are some good ones. You can even get private rooms a lot of times. If I were doing some solo traveling, I think that's probably what I would do, is just book a private room at a hostel so I can make some pals and go explore with them too. That would just be something I would personally be interested in. So you're going to go to hostels.com. And the cool thing about this website is it is reviewed, and people that stay in hostels are pretty honest, which I do appreciate that too. And so you're going to find some really good deals, and you're going to find some incredible places that sometimes have like happy hour included or snacks or breakfast or even sometimes dinner. Like, it's pretty incredible what can be included. And it really is a fun community. And if you think hostels are only for people that are, you know, in their early 20s or teens, it's really not true. There's a lot of people that are in their 30s, 40s, and beyond that stay in hostels because it is such a good deal. And sometimes if you don't really prioritize having too much privacy, or you don't really care, you know, about a community or any of that kind of stuff, then it can be, you know, a better option than booking a hotel or Airbnb. So it just totally depends on your preference, but it is certainly an option. So let's talk a little bit about food. I am such a foodie. Anytime I travel, I love kind of eating my way through a country. I like to see how how they eat, what they eat, different snacks or different foods that I can't try here. That's something that I find is so unique to every culture. So I really want to immerse myself in that as much as I possibly can. But I don't like to break the bank. Like, I'm not really a person who loves to spend hundreds of dollars on food for one meal. I'm much more of a, where's the cool places? Like, how do I stagger some nicer meals with some budget eats and just make it a really good time? And what I have found is that the resources that help me find great deals, there's three. First and foremost is Yelp. Yelp is becoming even more popular in Europe and some of the other places too, but I find Yelp in the US, that's where you're going to go. Like, that, it's everywhere here. But if you're visiting any countries in Europe, I find that TripAdvisor tends to be a little bit better for this. And TripAdvisor, I think there's just more data points. I don't know what it is. So it's really nice to have that. What I did observe, though, in Vietnam, when we went there a couple years ago, it was hard to find any information on restaurants and cheap eats there because neither one of these were overly prevalent. And so what I actually did have a lot of luck with was Instagram. And so I do this for any location I'm going to. I'll do, say I'm going to Palm Springs, I'll do hashtag Palm Springs and start to just see what pops up from a food perspective. I like to find cute cafes. I like to find great coffee. I like to find hole-in-the-wall places that most people don't know about. Those are the places that I gravitate towards, and I find that Instagram is really cool. You can also create a collection. You guys all probably know this, but I use Instagram kind of like Pinterest. So I will save different images for locations I want to travel to. When we were going to Vietnam, I was constantly saving cool restaurants, fun cafes. I was saving all of that stuff into these collections. So then when we were, you know, toting around Vietnam, we could look at that and say, oh, hey, you know, this is a cafe that's kind of close by. Let's go check that out. But those are the resources I tend to use for finding great food. And I have to just remind you, you do not have to spend a ton of money to have an amazing meal. There are three circumstances that I can think of where I had an incredible meal and it was less than like 10 euros. And so one was this sandwich shop in Florence, Italy. I will have to look up the name because it was so damn good. It was incredible. It's like fresh focaccia bread. It's salami and different meats that they would shave right in front of you. Same thing with the cheeses. It's melted, like delicious. Quite seriously, the best sandwich I've ever had in my life. And that was 5 euros. It was so, so worth it. There was another place, and I always get the name wrong, so please bear with me. If you're Italian, I'm really sorry. I think it's called like Cinque Terre. It's the fishing villages. So we were in Rio Maggiore and got a seafood cone and it was so good. It was like, I don't know, 5 or 6 euros as well. And it was fresh calamari and different seafoods and just so good. And the last one that like absolutely rocked my world was one night in Venice. If you've ever been to Venice, it's really, really touristy. I prefer to go there a little bit in off season. So I've been there in December and in May and both were fantastic. I think December is so fun because, I mean, it's cold. I will say it is very, very cold. But man, it's so eerie when the fog comes in off of the water. It feels like a totally different world and I am here for it. It's so cool. But when I went to Venice in my May trip, Tony and I were deciding to like, let's just go grab some food. And so we stayed in this part that was more non-touristy, which again, I prefer that. I tend to like to get off the beaten path a little bit. And so we were walking through all these really dark alleyways and corridors, and it feels like a maze. You're everywhere you go. It's like you have to take another turn and it's hard to see. It's kind of dark. It's just has such a different energy to it. And then we turned the corner, walked by this big church, and all of a sudden we could see lights and we could hear music. And it was just such a fun street where everybody that lived there would get together and just have wine and charcuterie boards and like all kinds of different snacks and just hang out after a long work day. And so when we went there, we spent, I think it was maybe 20 euros, and we each got a glass of wine. We got fresh meats and cheeses and all kinds of delicious stuff. And it was so amazing. So the reason I shared this with you is because you do not need to spend hundreds of dollars to have an incredible meal. I think a lot of it comes down to just like resourcefulness and finding places within your budget. And you can have great food at any budget. I truly, truly believe that. But those were some of my cheapy experiences. And the cool thing about specifically Yelp and TripAdvisor is if you do choose to use those to help you plan some meals in different locations, you can actually sort by dollar sign or by price. And so it's really helpful to find great things that are also affordable. So I highly recommend that. Another tip too, this is more of an activity tip. Whenever I go anywhere, I always look for free walking tours. These are not actually free. Like you don't have to, but you should tip the tour guide. And so those ones are great. And I will try to stack those at the beginning of any trip that I take, because it's nice to get a good sense of like, what am I looking at? What's the history? Give me some context of what I'm seeing. And then the tour guides are also phenomenal because they're going to tell you where to go, not just like the, you know, places where you feel like you're being scammed to spend $5,000 on a meal where it should only cost you $50. Like, I'm totally exaggerating, but you get the gist, right? We've all been there before. And so if you want to stay and go to some really great restaurants, I also find that those tour guides are so helpful to just point you in the right direction so that you get a better experience as a whole. Okay, so let's talk about some affordable destinations. I find for so many people, Puerto Rico is incredibly affordable and an absolutely amazing experience. I like Puerto Rico a lot too, because if you are a US citizen, you don't actually need your passport to go there, which is so helpful because I know a lot of people don't have a passport or can't get it in time to do some of these really cool trips when the good deals come up as well. So I do like Puerto Rico. I think it's great food. Like, give me mofongo all day long. I think it's so good. The pina colada was invented there. Like, come on, guys. They have beautiful beaches. They have the rainforest there. It's just such a cool place. And I really do enjoy the culture a lot there, but I do find it to be pretty affordable. So if you are traveling on a budget, that does tend to be a great place to go. Additionally, if you're trying to go to Europe, any of the countries in Europe, I find that Europe almost always goes on quote unquote sale, at least from a flight perspective, in October and in February. That's when you're going to find so many good deals. And unfortunately, it tends to be during the school season. That's not always the case, but that generally is when it's shoulder season. That's when it's a little bit cheaper to get around and to travel. But it really is, you know, kind of during October and February. That has held true even this year too. I've seen a lot of good deals to Europe even through March. So you never know. You just have to look on Google Flights and sometimes you'll see some good deals when you least expect it. Okay, so let me give you some practical financial tips of how you can travel more frequently. First and foremost, I highly recommend you get your own financial life in order first. It's really hard to travel when you're putting it on credit cards, when you're taking that trip home with you, you get back and you're like, oh my God, should I have spent that money? When you travel, I want you to have no regrets. I want you to have an incredible time and not have to think about it 6 months down the road, a year down the road, and still be paying that off. That is not the way to travel. There is a time and a place. Travel is a luxury. So definitely get your financial life in order first and start to pay off some of your debt. I would recommend at least your high credit card debt paid off. That high interest debt is so hard to get ahead of. So if you can just give yourself a little bit of grace, give yourself some patience, get that debt paid off first, and then take a sweet vacation to reward yourself, I think that's a great way to go. Again, that's just my own two cents. You do you. I just find that from a financial perspective, that does tend to be the more responsible way to go, which I know is not always fun. The second piece that I really want you to think about is having a travel fund set up specifically for travel. And this can be in an app like Capital, which is one that I'm a huge fan of, Qapital. There is a fee for it. I find it super, super worth it. When I was saving up to go to Peru, this is exactly what I used. And it was just helping me put aside a little bit of cash here and there to afford that trip, which unfortunately got canceled with the pandemic twice. So that kind of sucks. So I still have some cash to go eventually to go to Peru. But apps like Capital, I think, is good. You could also just do a bucket in your Ally account. So if you have an Ally high yield savings account, you can establish a specific bucket and start to allocate some of your funds over for travel. The thing is I don't want you to lump this in with your emergency fund or a house down payment. Like, it kind of does need to be a very separate fund so that you don't feel guilty And you can also take advantage of good deals when flights do go on sale, which, again, they do all the time. You will eventually find a good deal somewhere. So all that to say, I was expecting this to be a nice short 15-minute episode, and turns out I just love talking about travel so much. So I hope that you were with me the whole time. And more than anything, I hope this gave you some tips and tricks for planning your own trip. I hope it goes well for you. Definitely set up that savings account sooner rather than later. Get your finances in order and just get comfortable searching for flights using google.com/flights. I think that's the best resource to go. And if you haven't signed up for an account through Going, go do that too. I think they have a free and a paid version, and both are fantastic. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. Hope you're having a great week, and I will see you on Friday for 5 Tip Friday or next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.